You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All of our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. And big surprise, folks, we got yet another great program for you today. Chris Brandenburg and DeMarcus Andrews, AARP North Carolina's advocacy team, are with us in the studio to talk about what's going on in the advocacy world, both at the state and federal levels. But before we get to them, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am joined here in the studio by the true talent of AARP Without Limits.
You keep saying that.
Mr. Mike Davis. And Mike D. in the house. How are you, sir?
I keep wondering who you're talking about. I am fine, Mike O. How are you?
Well, you got to get used to that moniker. I thought about it for, a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You
know? I appreciate the effort that you put into it.
Because it can't just be a name. You know, there's got to be some truth to it. So here you are.
If you say so, I'll take it. And I appreciate it. I'm grateful for it. You doing okay?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Doing well. I have to say, it's been a period of some change, and those of you listening probably know this is a pre-recorded program, and our schedule is not weekly like it used to be, so Mike and I don't see each other every week, and then I just had a couple weeks of vacation.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute for us.
Did you get a chance to unwind?
Not really.
No.
No, it's been a bit. I got to unwind a little bit.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks, well, not quite 2 weeks, lucky 13 days.
Right, okay.
Some of it not so lucky. In my job, I never really get to truly disconnect. I just can't do that. The follow-up and catch-up work I have to do when I get back is just too much, and there's some stuff that just requires real-time attention.
Yeah.
But I did get to disconnect a little bit, and to tell you the truth of what I did, Mike, I'm not really too sure I can answer that with any confidence.
Okay.
In fact, I was on a call this morning and was asked, hey, how was your vacation? And I'm thinking, I don't know. I've been back 4 days, and it seems like an eternity ago.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, but I did.
Sounds like you need another vacation.
I think I might. And in fact, I'm going to take a week off later on in August.
Good.
But I did. And when I thought about it, I thought, okay, I did go with the kids to Myrtle Beach for a few days, which was great. And it's blessed with really great weather.
Nice.
Which was really nice. As you know, Mike, we've had wet and really hot weather this summer so far. It's been brutal in both ways, with crazy flooding and wet weekends that have ruined people's plans, and of course some really, really hot weather. And then the next week I went up north, so got to see my sister and her husband in New Jersey. They live near the beach, which is always fun. That's a kind of a little ritual we have every summer is going there to be at Aunt Cheryl's, and I got to see my parents up in Connecticut. So between the two, it was a nice break, and it was just so nice just to just chill by the pool and just have like Slurpees and great Jersey pizza and and just sort of indulge in all that for a little bit.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that's been good.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So been back, and as you know, and folks, who knows when they're actually listening to this podcast, but this past weekend we had definitely the hottest weekend we've had here in North Carolina yet.
Yeah.
Lord knows where the heat index was. Of course, depending on where you're, big difference between the mountains and the sand hills for sure, as far as heat index and all that. I had to move that weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So that Saturday and Sunday was with the moving days. So my kids helped me, and I began the day, Mike, first thing in the morning, brought them McDonald's breakfast to butter them up a little bit, right? And I was like, okay, now that you guys are eating, this is not going to be fun, guys. This is going to be really, really hard, but let's stick through it. Let's keep our complaints to ourselves. And you're getting a lot more space in where we're moving, and just some amenities. My daughter's got her own bathroom now, and my son's got a balcony outside of his room, faces east. So in the morning, it's really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
And all that. So it all went. I gotta say, I'm really proud of my kids.
Good.
I was really expecting. I was like, man, this is going to be awful, and I'm going to hear them complaining and dragging their feet. And, you know, had to give them a couple of reminders along the way, but man, they were just great. At the end of the day, fantastic. It was like, or the end of the 2 days, it was about, let's get this done. Let's step it up and talk about teamwork. So I'm really, really nice. Proud of them.
Yeah. Good. Good for them. Good for you.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So, good. I know that was a mouthful, a lot of useless information for most of our listeners, but you know, those are the breaks in life. Sometimes you got to hear what the host,
love it.
last two weeks has been.
That's right. You are the host. You get to run with it. Love it. Well, good for you. And you like the new place?
New place is great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's surrounded in boxes right now, but it's great.
All right.
Let's get to the good stuff, Mike. I'm really, really pleased to welcome back to the show Chris Brandenburg, who is our advocacy manager at AARP North Carolina, and to welcome for the first time our advocacy associate state director, DeMarcus Andrews, who's been on board with AARP over a year now?
Yep, it was a year in May.
Year in May, excellent. Well, welcome both of you. It's great to have you here, the dynamic duo of AARP North Carolina's advocacy. Appreciate you guys taking the time to be here. And the timeliness of this, I think, is important because there's a lot going on right now. We're just past the midpoint of the year. There's a lot going on both at the federal and state level. People are hearing a lot about that, and I'm sure I've got some questions. Before we get to that, though, for no doubt some of our listeners, they're unaware of how and why AARP does advocacy work. They may think that we have a political action committee and that we endorse candidates and those types of things that are not correct. But so let's start there. DeMarcus, first question for you. Just set the stage here. How does AARP conduct advocacy on legislative issues?
Yeah, well, thanks, Mike. And it's great to be here for the first time. But yeah, I think that's a great place to start. So I can certainly say that AARP does not have a PAC, and nor do we endorse candidates. AARP has always and will continue to be a nonpartisan organization. So now to your question about how we conduct our advocacy within the state. So one, we rely on our immense resources by the organization as it relates to data, strategies, et cetera. We are also very thoughtful in how we cultivate relationships with legislators. And additionally, we also rely heavily on our advocacy volunteers who are able to speak to these issues directly and explain how, you know, these issues impact their lives. A few examples of how, you know, we've conducted advocacy within our state. We've coordinated advocacy days in concert with other health advocacy groups, which we gather volunteers, advocates around the state, and we go door by door to speak with legislators about specific issues. Two, we've organized roundtable meetings with advocates around our state to discuss collective issues, share strategies and tactics, and share political insights. And, you know, one of the last things I'll mention is that there are times where we call upon our North Carolina activists, you know, to contact their state and federal representation in support of legislation or in opposition of it.
Oh, very, very well put. I appreciate the emphasis there on the volunteers because a lot of people think, and I think understand correctly, that a lot of advocacy organizations that do work, especially in D.C., but throughout the country for sure, and state legislatures, is, you know, they do advocacy and then they also either directly or indirectly through maybe an affiliated organization have a PAC and endorse candidate. And so, hey, we'd really appreciate your support on this, Senator, and, you know, look forward to seeing you at the fundraiser next week. We don't do that. Our power is in the numbers, and with 1.1 million AARP members in the state, there's a lot of power in that. Let's talk a little bit, DeMarcus, about this year. It's been a very interesting one, for sure, at both the state and the federal levels. First, looking at the state, we've got a new governor, and we have a near veto-proof Republican majority in both houses. How productive has this year been so far as the budget and legislation actually getting signed into law?
Well, great question, and I think it's framed perfectly. Well, I will say that despite the near veto-proof majority in both chambers, there are significant differences between the House and the Senate budget proposals. I know for certain that we have been advocating to make sure that when a budget is passed, there is allocation for senior games, which keeps our aging community healthy by being physically active, And we've also been advocating for SHIP funding, which allows for one-on-one assistance for Medicare beneficiaries to be able to apply for their benefits. However, both sides have come together to pass a mini budget. And a few of the highlights that I'll mention is they've allocated $1.2 million for the Division of Motor Vehicles to hire more driver's license examiners. And they've also allocated $600 million for Medicaid funding to cover changing expenses in the state's Medicaid program. And this focus here is to really stabilize the Medicaid operations amid the changing demand and costs, and to avoid kind of disruption while the full budget is being negotiated. Now, as it relates to the productivity of legislation, I will say there's been nearly 1,800 bills introduced, and only about 77 of them have been signed into law.
1,800 and only 77 signed.
And only 77 yep. signed. So, I wouldn't say it was a super productive, you know, session so far, but there has been some work that has been done. And Chris and I, we've been tracking about 20 bills this session, and I'll mention a couple of highlights from them. So one being our North Carolina Work and Save legislation, which is a state-facilitated retirement savings plan. Which would allow for nearly 2 million North Carolinians to be able to save for retirement through their employer. We've certainly seen some progress on this legislation this session. The bill passed its first committee this session, in which it passed the Pensions and Retirement Committee. And is now
unanimously, right?
Unanimously. Mm-hmm. We even had one of the legislators that mentioned, could we get this initiative online sooner? So it was, you know, most of the legislators really spoke glowingly about the legislation. So the bill still has a ways to go, but it was great to see kind of that progress this session. Another bill I'll mention is our APRN definitions bill, which we've been following, which is formerly known as the SAVE Act. And this legislation would allow nurse practitioners to work to the full extent of their education and abilities. Unfortunately, this session, House leadership has mentioned there isn't much of an appetite to move the bill this session, so we aren't expecting much movement for this particular bill the remainder of the session. The last bill I'll mention is our Advanced Directives Bill, which allows for individuals to choose their preferred care during serious illnesses. And I will say this bill did pass the House with no objection. And it now has been placed into a Senate Judiciary Committee. So a number of different issues that we focus on, a number of consumer issues around gift card theft and fraud. So we've been following a lot of bills this session, and we're hopeful that there are a couple with the smaller sessions toward the end of each month until November that we're able to kind of push them to do a little more on them.
Great. Great overview there, DeMarcus. Appreciate it. We're going to take a deeper dive into what to expect from some of this legislation after this short break. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a recommendation, or a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send me an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with DeMarcus Andrews and Chris Brandenburg. They are AARP North Carolina's advocacy team, and we're just talking to DeMarcus about what's been going on this past this past legislative session as far as bills and the progress of them. I want to shift gears over to Chris now. Chris Brandenburg, the legislature has been back lately. It's been making the news with a number of veto override votes. What is the status of the legislature's schedule being back in session this fall to address some of these bills that DeMarcus just walked us through? What do you think are the prospects for them taking them up and actually getting done this year?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me back, Mike. I think what we saw here recently, that the legislature just came back from a good amount of time off, the 29th and 30th of July here, and it was focused primarily more on veto overrides. So as DeMarcus mentioned earlier, and you alluded to as well, Mike, the House and the Senate have had some real differences, despite the fact that they are both Republican-dominated. And the Senate has this what's called supermajority that is necessary to override vetoes. So if the governor, Governor Stein, chooses to veto a bill, the Senate, if all Republicans show up and are at work, are able to override that. The House is one Republican shy of the ability to be able to do that, to have what's called that supermajority. But what we saw here very recently was rather interesting in that the House still overrode 8 vetoes in one day, and they did that with help from House Democrats, which was, kind of a different thing, and maybe something that we're not all that accustomed to seeing. There were a number of different bills that were kind of all over the map as far as policy goes, but we saw 8 different ones get overridden. And then we saw the Senate override actually, I believe, 12 of them set a record in one day. But again, the House just did 8, so not all of those 12 have become law now, just 8 of them have. So it's sort of a unique, interesting place that we're in right now with our state legislator. But that was the primary purpose of their recent time to come back, that and what's called a mini budget. So as we've alluded to on the show before, a state is supposed to adopt a budget by the end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th. They did not do that this year. Our state, unlike the federal government, doesn't have a shutdown if a budget isn't adopted. Things just go back to the previous year's funding. But there are a lot of things that are very dependent upon having updated funding. If you think about state employees, teachers' raises, all these things that you probably see in the news, those are dependent upon that. So another one of the things that the House and the Senate just finalized on the 30th of July was passing another mini budget that did include some additional funding for some items, but they have yet to reach a consensus on a broader, larger, full-scale budget bill for this new fiscal year, despite the fact that we're a month behind now. And I promise I'm weaving this all back to your final thought here, Mike, which was, what does this mean for the rest of the year and them coming back at the end of, for 2 or 3 days at the end of each month through the end of the year, which is sort of what the schedule they have put out we anticipate happening. My speculation is that they are going to continue to try to reach a consensus on a budget bill, and that a large, broader budget bill. And as they are working to do that, they have built in these times for everybody to come back in hopes that they will be able to have a vote on a larger, broader budget bill. And as you probably have guessed with politics, despite the name of a budget bill, there are usually many things included in there that are not just fiscal money and budget. There's usually a lot of policy pieces in there. So one of the big things that we are continuing to advocate on and prioritize with folks that are appropriation chairs and do all this hard work behind the scenes with the budget is to include very specific policies that we've been working on. So things like North Carolina Work and Save and this APRN full practice authority bill, for example, are things that could be included in negotiations between the House and the Senate with this broader budget bill, and are very much things that we are asking for leadership to consider including as they work to reach a consensus here.
Mm. Let's shift gears to federal. So this year has been very unique, very unpredictable. Most recently, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act was passed and signed into law. Being such a huge bill, there are items that AARP both supported and opposed. If you could, Chris, give us a rundown on what this bill does on issues important to older Americans.
Sure. Yeah. So I thought maybe we would take the rest of the time. It was 940 pages, so maybe we just read through the – no. it was a large bill. I would imagine that would probably take a couple of days to read. And you know, it was just signed into law on the 4th of July, right? So I'm happy to speak some about it and talk about some critical pieces in there. But I think it's also important to address the fact that all of us are still analyzing different pieces of such a large bill that's been signed into law now, and the impact that it may have in so many different policy areas, including many that are going to be flow down and be felt by the states and have an impact on our state government and the way that that's going to decisions they're going to have to make moving forward. But I think some of the key things that we have to highlight when we're talking about older adults in North Carolina and really across the country, I think you start with the key tax changes that are in there for older adults. So there's something included in this one big beautiful bill called the senior deduction that starts this year, 2025, and runs through 2028. And it essentially states that taxpayers 65 or older can receive an additional $6,000 standard deduction or up to $12,000 for married couples if they're filing jointly. And this does phase out at higher income levels, and it may help reduce or eliminate some federal income taxes on Social Security for a large percentage of beneficiaries. So I think that's an important thing to understand and know that is in this bill, and I do think it could certainly have an impact on folks when it comes to taxes. I think Medicaid, let's face it, there was a lot around Medicaid in this bill, and we could probably spend a whole show just talking about that. But I think the bottom line, the biggest thing to know is there are going to be some significant cuts to Medicaid. And the most recent estimates I've seen are estimating about $1 trillion in reductions over the next 10 years. So that's significant, and there's no doubt that there will be an impact felt by that on adults, you know, who are older and adults who are younger, you know, across the age spectrum, but certainly on older adults, and especially I think on folks in long-term care. Here in North Carolina, it's almost 4 in 5 folks who receive long-term care are on Medicaid. So there's no doubt that will be impactful. There's some expanded work requirements that have been added now for Medicaid, including having to verify more often that you're working, going from once a year to every 6 months for some redeterminations and eligibility. There's also a shorter time now for what we call the open season or registering, and you are forced to re-register every year. You're not automatically enrolled. So there's a lot of things that have changed that we certainly believe have the potential to make things a little more difficult. Certainly one of our big goals here is going to be not just the advocacy piece on this, but the education piece too. Folks need to know there's been a lot of significant changes to Medicaid. And then lastly, I'll just mention, and again, it's a massive bill, so there's going to be a ton of impact, but I think it's important to mention the Food and Nutrition Assistance SNAP program. Nearly 11 million folks who are 50 and older across the United States that receive SNAP benefits in 2023. And again, we're looking at stricter work requirements for SNAP now, all the way up for folks who are up to age 64, having to prove and meet documentation. And then there's also, I think, very important to know, going to be a reduced federal funding and more state cost sharing for SNAP, which has not been the case in the past. And that's going to cause states to have to make some tough decisions when it comes to budgets and funding. So it's going to be something else that we're going to have to watch closely and very likely have to weigh in on the advocacy front as we move forward.
And as you said before, there's so much to this that the impact on states is something that we're going to be determining as time goes on. We really don't even have a sense, and every state's going to be different. And in North Carolina, for example, our Medicaid expansion population, we're not sure how to what extent they'll be affected. I know it's more even more strict for that population than for those who were on Medicaid prior to the expansion. One last real quick thing, Chris. Need to ask you about Social Security. It's turning 90 on August 14th. Real quickly, if you could, just walk us through. Why is AARP bringing attention to this, and what are we doing?
Yeah, I'm thrilled to speak about that. So that's right. The 14th of August will be the 90th anniversary of when FDR signed Social Security Act into law, and it's exciting. We are. You will find no bigger advocate for Social Security than AARP, and I think we're really looking forward to celebrating those 90 years of 90 years of consistent month after month after month Americans being able to count on that payment, which for so many of them provides them the financial security that they need to be able to live in retirement. So we're excited about it. I think our big theme going into the 14th of August is it's personal. Social Security, it's personal. It's been consistent for 90 years. We're looking forward to looking back over those 90 years and looking at the consistency of Social Security and what it's meant to folks, and allowing folks to reflect over the past 90 years and different things that have happened during their lifetime. And then also we're really excited then to look ahead and look at the future of what Social Security holds and the promises that have been made for folks that have paid into this for such a long time and have earned this benefit. So we're really looking forward to it. We have events going on across the state on the 14th. You can learn a whole lot more about this if you go to AARP North Carolina website and then simply click on the events button. But we're looking forward to celebrating statewide on the 14th this very special anniversary for Social Security.
Excellent. Chris, DeMarcus, thanks so much for being with us. We're out of time here, but I really appreciate you guys taking the time to come and give everybody a sense of what's going on, what's been going on, and what we have to look forward to as well. That is a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for being with us. I want to thank Chris Brandenburg and DeMarcus Andrews for being our guests. Thank you to Mike Davis for production. Thank you, of course, for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina, and we'll see you next time.